Welcome to Evolutionary Men, where we learn to lead in life and love with head, heart, and guts. This is for men wanting to deepen their presence in the world, clarify their purpose, more easily connect with their power, and find ease in dating and relationships. I'm your host, Jason Lang. Let's get started.
Right, and welcome back, everybody. I am super pumped today to be joined by Ryan Ginn, my friend, associate, and an incredible practicing couples therapist, men's coach, and educator on relationships and health and well-being that I've had the pleasure of knowing, I don't know, 8 or 9 years now. Done a lot of deep work with myself, and really wanted to bring Ryan on here because in the work I do with men, kind of from the more coaching angle, a lot of times I'll work with guys in relationships and they'll get to a point where it's pretty clear the couple needs some outside support. Mm-hmm. And either they've had therapy before or about to look for a therapist for the first time and just don't know where to start in terms of how to find a good couples therapist. And I thought, knowing you personally, as someone I think is a great couples therapist, maybe you could bring some tips and ideas for things to look for and really how couples therapy can serve a couple and really kind of take it from there. Mm. So first off, welcome.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, super, super cool to be here. Yeah. You know, as you're speaking, I started having flashbacks to my first experiences in couples therapy, and they were not excellent, shall we say. Yeah. And then I'm really actually just in the moment really realizing that there is a I don't hear it spoken very much, truth that many therapists think that they can handle couples because they had some training in grad school and maybe, you know, did one training and with the Gottmans, and so they're going at it. And they don't actually have a strong enough framework for dealing with the complexity of what's happening in a couple system. You know, and yet the thing that they're really well intentioned, you know? And they're maybe seeing mostly individuals, and it's a different animal. A couple therapy session is a different animal. They end up leaning on their, you know, primary skills as an individual therapist, which is, you know, listening, you know, reflective listening, you know, validation. And they don't come in with a strong frame of expectations of the couple, of each individual in the couple. And we could get into those, but just as a starting point, I reflect back and I think, God, you know, I had, you know, with my wife, I had couples therapy experiences that wherein the therapist actually would take sides, either, you know, my side or my wife's side. And of course, either way, that just feels not right. But, you know, individuals, you know, especially in a we'll say not fully developed, like not a strong, high functioning couple system, are going to come into couples therapy already kind of ready to make their case. I mean, entrenched, right? Yeah, just not, you know, sadly, you know, 90% of the time, that's how a couple presents to me, right? They're both treating, they're looking at me like I'm the adjudicator of right and wrong, you know, true and false. And that I'm just going to say, okay, well, he certainly is the one that is the victim here. And you need to start to shift your whole thing so that he feels better. This is sort of the implicit expectation they have of me. And we both know, right? I mean, we're smiling like in what world is that going to play well? Right. Yet it's very, really remarkable. I mean, the insistence on that on treating the couples therapist that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe just to backtrack a little bit and just really, you know, really answer this question of like how to find a good one. And kind of getting at it in terms of one that is, that actually has a frame and you feel it. You want to feel like when you do, you know, your most, any high quality couples therapist is going to do a screening call with you or a meet and greet, right? Just to see if it's a good fit. And you want to feel from them that they are somebody that you feel like you can really learn from, like that they have a quality. This is somewhat abstract, but I think you all can get this, of leadership. Like they're not just reflecting back to you what's happening there. You know, they're hearing you, deeply hearing you, but then they're coming back to you with, okay, so this is what we do. When you come into my office, we're going to be learning this. I'm not going to actually put up with a lot of acting out. Right. That's not in your interest. It's nearly unethical for me just to have you play out individualist, selfish, super self-centered, victim stories in the sessions. This is not going to work for you. I want to help you. I want to help. You want to hear some of this kind of languaging, I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Where they're going down the middle. They're holding you both accountable as two adults that are choosing to come into this consensual relationship as leaders, as like empowered, you know, high, you know, agency adults that need some skill development, right? And I think that's, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious if you have any kind of curiosity.
Well, yeah, I just to kind of, pause and reflect so far. So two big things I'm already taken away that I'm just so glad you spoke to that. Just because someone, is like a great individual therapist doesn't necessarily mean that's going to translate to couples work, right? It can, but it's not. It doesn't necessitate that. And I do see this showing up where oftentimes when I'm working with guys and couples, the couples therapist ends up coming from, they had been working with one of them individually. And it's like, oh, why don't you bring your partner in? Cause then we can da da da. But just that admission that, yeah, it's a different skill set, right? And you can be a great individual couples therapist, but it takes a specific kind of training that I know you've received and to be able to work with the partnership itself and handle suddenly, you know, there's twice as much complexity. You're not just dealing with one person's psyche. You're dealing with two people's psyche and then how they interact with each other. And like you said, the beliefs they have coming in, their entrenchment and whatnot. So I just really want to reflect that, guys, that just to really hear that just because they're a great individual therapist doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a great couples therapist. And now, would you say like, in like, let's say that intake interview, would that be the kind of thing someone should even ask? Like, what kind of training do you have in terms of working with couples or like history or things like that? Like to actually get in there and see, you know, are they just kind of moonlighting in this or is this something they take on pretty seriously because it really does have a different skill set and capacity? So that's something you could ask a potential therapist, right? Is like, yeah, like how much experience do you have working with couples? What training do you have? Because I think that just gets right into the second thing you named that I think is, I hear this from guys so often where they're like, we go in there. I was telling you this before we chat. It's like we go in there and basically we just kind of emotionally vomit and dump each week. And the therapist kind of listens to us and reflects and then sends us home. And we're just like coming in every 2 weeks. But where it gets really frustrating for a number of the guys is it doesn't feel like the therapist has a plan. Mm-hmm. Like they're not actually, and I think you just said it in a beautiful way, like they're not actually leading us, right? Whereas we're actually coming to you, couples therapists, because we don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. We're actually out of, we can't lead ourselves out of this. So we need that. And so finding someone who has that leadership quality of, okay, you guys are coming in. I'm going to help you take responsibility. We're going to make a plan and we're going to kind of go on a journey, it sounds like, from kind of A to B to see what's really going on and what's possible here. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of fit with what you mean by leadership?
Yeah, that's a great
and frame.
That's a great way to describe it, or you know, kind of further elucidate it for the guys out there. You're often spending several hundred dollars for this, right? I mean, it is not a place to just come and vent. It's a place to train. You know, I think a couple therapist would be better called, you know, a relational like literacy trainer. Like it's like a training experience, right? Because you have your patterns, right? That are, you know, really deeply grooved in. Because we're talking about the primary attachment system, right? I mean, just a short dip into attachment theory here, right? When you go into, when you're in a long-term primary pair bond, as we call in like, in my, you know, school of couples therapy, it turns on this part of your brain that is really the same brain that you utilized in your primary relationships, like your primary caregivers, right? It's that deep, it's that automatic. It's that full nervous system. It's not, you know, it's in no way a mental thing that you turn on. It's automatic. And so that's a tall task to repattern, needless to say. And yet, you need a facilitator that sees that's the work at hand. We're not going to just talk abstractly about our problems and our challenges. We have to turn and face each other in real time and get some coaching, some training, to try something different. Because what you've done has not fucking worked. So why exactly would you be doing it in front of somebody that in paying money for that? I say that with also compassion, because it's an understandable thing to do. Especially if you don't have someone saying like, we don't do that. Like, that's not what we're doing here. Do you want to learn? Do you want to, let's try something else. And so I should just, you know, briefly describe, you know, my school, the psychobiological approach to couples therapy. It's not my, I mean, the school I'm trained in, PACT, formed by Stan Tatkin, is, and you know, other schools do this too. EFT, Gottman's do some of this too. You know, the bigger schools do this experiential learning, right? This, you know, based on the premise that if you don't practice something in stress, it won't translate, you know, to your everyday life. You know, you have to put the couple under stress, which turning and facing each other and saying, you know, talk about your money challenges. I want to see you talk about what you're going to do to move forward. Just do one, you know, come to one thing that you're going to do together to move towards a healthier relationship with money as a couple. Go. I want to see you do that. That's stressful. Right?
Yeah.
And yet that's what you want to use someone like me for, right? Is to get that auxiliary regulation to your nervous system so that you don't just pop out and just revert back to blame,
old patterns,
argumentation, mm-hmm. shutdown, stonewalling, all the things. You stay in a relatively regulated state that can actually collaborate and be creative and be empathetic, all the things you need to be to function well, Like, you're doing hard things. You're raising kids. You're managing a household, right? You're dealing with, like, ill, you know, parents. Like, they're really doing difficult things. So you need to be able to be regulated, empathetic, like, take the other person's perspective, you know, come up with suggestions that both take care of you and the other person at the same time. That's high level executive functioning. And one doesn't do that because one is reverting back to their family of origin stuff and their, you know, and so you need help to shift that pattern, you know, to start to see it. It's not like it's going to go away. You're like breathing through it. You know, you've got someone like me that's got your back saying, you know, try that again. You're on the right track, right? It's like a trainer would, right? You know, just almost there. Just take a moment though. What's going on for you right now? That's like, well, I'm just feeling like really, part of me is feeling really frustrated that she doesn't get, okay, well, and then I can offer some of that as a bridge. Like I can offer some of that empathy strategically so that they can calm down and give it another go. And keep practicing, like staying in their adult, collaborative, perspective-taking brain.
Okay, so this is so big. I really want to highlight what you're saying there, that like actual skill building and training should be happening in the session, right? So that. Maybe one way to frame what I've kind of heard clients talk about is we just come in and we kind of recapitulate the pattern, right? It's like, I do this, you do this, I do this. And there just happens to be someone witnessing and reflecting that, but they're not necessarily intervening to help us in the actual session, try something new to build the new capacity that we then, you know, go back and try to keep bringing, it sounds like, but in between sessions, but that if you're not learning something about yourself or a new skill or something like that, it's probably not going to be very productive long term. And so it really takes that active leadership. And I think you're kind of pointing to the sweet spot of evoking the stressful situation for the couple. But then what is different is you, right? The actual regulated nervous system of the therapist who can then kind of bring the extra care in the moment to start to implement some of those small tweaks or create some of those moments of self-awareness. So then you can kind of start to pattern things or try things differently. But that if you're not training and building that skill capacity, it's probably not going to actually be that effective for you long term. And that's where I think I have, you know, we've been seeing someone for like 2 years. It's like 2 years. Wow. And has anything changed? No, nothing's changed. Like we just kind of come in and do the same thing because that process isn't actually happening in a sense. So I really love that you highlighted that. And if there's one word, you know, I certainly know men can get behind, it's training. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. We're going to train. We're going to relationally train to build these new skills and capacities, which it's not. So we're going to talk about what's, you know, broken or messed up about us, which, you know, it can be part of there, but it gives it a slightly more, I would say, alluring framing for certain men. That's like, okay, yeah, I want to learn how to do this better. It's not that we're never going to fight, but let's learn how to fight better, or let's learn how to talk about money better, or let's learn how to do these different things better. So looking for a therapist who has that strong leadership capacity, frame, ability, I imagine, to hold themselves. I've honestly been shocked, man, at how often guys have shared, like when their therapist gets triggered, they can like hear their therapist is getting upset by something, which then I'm like, how do you... that doesn't work, you know, and I'm sure it happens. It's part of being human. But if it's showing up in the session, I think something's maybe not quite going the way it should. Okay, great. But this is awesome. Let's just keep this train going.
Yeah, you know, one other thing to really name it, or maybe to double click on, is that the training is mostly on the nervous system level, right? Because that's the foundation of our behavior. I mean, if you're not regulated in a moment, in an interaction, you're not going to be able to listen, empathize, and be truly collaborative. Just kind of repeating that again, because people come into, I mean, we're getting more into not just how to choose a therapist, but how do you orient yourself? How do you know? Because if you want to make the most out of this, like help the therapist out by like reframing your, you know, like reorienting yourself. Like, I'm going in here and it's going to be, I'm actually going to be expecting, similar to I would like a training session, like I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be managing the natural impulse to do the easy thing, which would be to blame, to shut down, to talk over, you know, and I'm going to stay in the discomfort of what I'm feeling and be willing to be, to build, you know, a tolerance in this container for the inherent discomfort of creating a life with another person. You know, I think that's the, just to boil it down, that the biggest issue in any couple is that you're a human being that feels really frustrated, disappointed in this other that isn't cooperating with you the way you want them to on a daily basis. And you want to just tell them to just change. If you just did this, then I wouldn't feel this.
Yeah.
And it seems so simple. I could just tell you, maybe, you know, and you don't listen. So I'm going to maybe do it in a stronger way. And, you know, and this is the human condition that we're contending with and that we're trying to train a person or a couple out of. I'm just saying, like, to come in and with a humility that, okay, like, I may be really successful in so many of my other relationships in life in general, like, and I'm really, you know, an intelligent person. But there's a way in which, you know, couples work is, as you know, Jason, is the ultimate humble pie. It just is.
Yeah.
You know, you think you've done so much work. Oh man, I've done 100 ayahuasca ceremonies and, you know, I've done this, that, and created 3 companies. And then you just feel like a baby sometimes.
Totally.
It's not getting what he wants. it's hard to, you know, so coming in with that, you know, that recognition, you know, that it's going to be real, but it's going to be really difficult. And yet the other side of that is this opportunity to heal and repattern some of your most basic injuries, right? The injuries that took place for you as a child that you didn't, of course, have the psychological, emotional capacity to deal with or to confront. Now you go into couples work and you have some auxiliary help to actually become like an advocate, like an effective one for your emotional needs in real time, right? And when it's like really hard. Like, oh, I have to take care of this person. I have to like listen to them and help them feel safe and present what I need in a way that they can really hear it. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a great, I think, just to highlight too, right? So don't expect it to be easy, right? Whoever you pick, you got to come in humble and be willing, you know, with a certain willingness to learn. And know it's going to be hard. And actually, that's kind of the point, is to get into the hard state, but with the presence of someone that can help you through it, in a sense. in that it's not about just finding someone who's going to make you feel better. Right.
Right. But or vindicate your you too.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because we all want, I mean, it's just so human. I mean, we want to be, because we experience ourselves right as the protagonist and all, we can't help it.
Yeah. So true.
You might get a little bit of that, but you know, it's not going to be the goal or validation. You might not get vindication, but some validation.
Yeah. In, you know, one question that's coming up for me that I often kind of talk to guys about, but I'd be curious on your take. Like, sometimes, you know, guys will come in and there's something going on in the relationship and, you know, they start to talk to a therapist or something, and the feeling they get transmitted from the therapist, or even just they implicitly kind of absorb, is that it's going to take a really long time for things to change or make movement. Like, what's your sense? You know, I'm not saying that everything's fixed, but like, should progress start to become kind of visible fairly fast if you're really doing effective work with a therapist in session? Like, does it take 3, 6, 9 months? Or like, what do you see like in the best kind of case scenarios in terms of what's possible in terms of timelines?
I think you should see some shifting. Yeah, certainly within the first few months, with a big caveat. You know, in my years of working with couples, the biggest factor is both of if they both simultaneously have a willingness to really be more mindful, more intentional, like practice the skills, you know, in other words, not fall prey to their own human tendency to blame and to go into the past and keep replaying times at which they were hurt, as one, you know, in that that doesn't see their own part in it, of course. You know, if they really say, you know, there's a kind of turning over a new leaf, like, hey, if the couples that stop seeing me, you know, which is the actual goal within a few months, or maybe come every, you know, quarterly or something.
Yep. Get top ups.
Right. Are the ones that have that mindset, like, hey, we both over the years have, you know, done what happens to couples, you know, started to get sloppy, you know, start to automate the other person, not deeply listen to them, get more self-oriented, not paying attention to the health of the couple system. And here we are. And here we are, we're hiring this person to come in and train us to like develop new patterns, new principles, practices, and we're going to do them. Because we recognize that if we don't, we will revert to our conditioning, which has not worked. In other words, you know, to boil it down, they've abandoned the blame game. They've just said that's a dead end. Right? And I'm not going to try to litigate the past. It never works. I'm going to save you, the couple therapist, some time in that way. And I'm going to say, I want to learn how, and in real time, I want to learn. And then I'm going to practice outside of here. How do we create a culture that is increasingly sensitive, creative, affectionate? That covers most of it, right? I think if you, yeah.
Right, that they're, sign me up.
Yeah, they're doing that, and they're like, they're taking it up.
Yeah,
and there's always a mystery of like, well, what does it take? What does it take for a person to actually like step into that level of like leadership? I don't want to insinuate that there isn't some importance of doing some repair around, you know, and of course, if there's betrayal and you know, that's an asymmetric situation and has a different process. But if there's been hurt, there can be a process, but it has to be done in a way that's constructive, not just I'm going to dump this whole boatload of things that you've done and expect you just to sit there, you know, sit there and say you're right, I'm wrong, you know, I'm the one who's messed up this whole relationship and you're amazing.
Well, that sounds, I just want to double click that as another maybe awareness point as a man and his partner are going in. If sessions are becoming only litigating the past, that's probably a good indicator that it's maybe not the right fit, or there needs to be an intervention to have a conversation with the therapist of, okay, if we're litigating the past so that we have more resource to work what's happening right now, okay, you know, that's one thing. But if you're just coming in week after week and pouring through the past, but not doing that process you named previously of kind of skill building and working with things in real time, it's not going to move the needle, right? Because mm-hmm. the list is endless, right?
Right.
I mean, you could go back home and journal every day and find, oh yeah, I forgot about this time my partner did it. And this time my partner did it. I got to clear that. And I got to clear that. And again, it's not to minimize those things. There are times I think they need to be cleared, but sessions shouldn't just be about litigating the past. It needs to be paired with some kind of real-time forward-facing work, I think is what I hear from you. Because otherwise, you're just going to get stuck in these loops forever.
Yeah.
And the willingness to kind of let go of some of that, in a sense, and be like, okay, you know, yeah, I feel that, but I'm committed to showing up and doing the hard work now and facing forward together around this. You know, sounds like it is kind of needed from the partners, as you know, from the couple as well. It can't just all be put on the therapist. There has to be that willingness to kind of come in and take some responsibility and to move forward in some sense. And then if you're with a couple's therapist who has that frame, like a structure, some leadership, they're going to actually take you through, things can start to change. Like, it doesn't have to take years, right? You should, you know, it's not that everything's going to be fixed, but if I'm hearing you right, you know, certainly within a couple months, you should be feeling like you're having some different outcomes to some of the same situations. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, we got into the but hey, actually, you know, we reconnected in 20 minutes this time rather than 2 days of ice cold silence. Like, that's movement, right? That's okay. Things are moving here. So you want to actually be looking for that kind of movement, you know, not necessarily after the first session, but fairly soon, even if they're micro steps that, okay, yeah, we're in the game with each other here and learning is happening. So, and I imagine just as a couple, that's going to make it a lot more inspiring to keep coming back too. If you actually feel like there's offline movement outside of the sessions that are paying off the time you're spending in the session.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's the best trajectory. I love the couples that are taking it up. They're coming back and they're saying, oh, we're really doing well. And then we hit this point, you know, and let's break it down together. Like, they're treating it like it's a mutual learning lab about their relationship and their own personal kind of unresolved or, you know, they're, like I said before, their injuries from childhood, past relationships that are surfacing, causing pain, you know, because that's what our system does. It does project onto our partner, but there's a way in which we can use that and then as an opportunity to repair, to repattern something, right? Like, yeah. But I would say, you know, just to, in all honesty, I think that is one of the most tricky things about, especially longer term couple, you know, if they've accrued a lot of unrepaired experiences, and they've reviewed them in their brains, and you know, and like I said, and they're the protagonist in these memories that are not reality, not the full reality, and right, you can imagine they come in with hundreds of well grooved in memory stories of having been uncared for, slighted, dismissed, all that. It's very difficult for them to not hear, hey, let's just move forward as a dismissal of all of that. So we have, right. So you want to, you know, coming back to what are you looking for in a couple service? You want someone that, you know, that has both the ability to really hold and validate and facilitate a constructive and structured repair for some of those things, as well as the finesse to encourage the movement forward, the building of wins, so that the couple, the marriage starts to have some morale to it. Cause you need a blend, you know, and in that way, I think of like couples therapy, relationship coaching as an art, right? You know, the coach has to come in there, you know, really feeling into this culture here and seeing like, hey, the morale's kind of low. We need to create something to help, you know, build a win for them. It's got to be back and forth, right?
Yeah, I mean that feels like another thing to just really highlight for guys. Like the, yeah, you want your therapist to help you, be helping you find some wins to keep that forward momentum going, and that if, you know, if they don't have the capacity to do that, that might be one of those times you consider revisiting, you know, like, okay, we need to either talk to them about, hey, we need to try some different strategies here, or potentially find a different person to work with that can help you start to experience some of these wins to kind of, yeah, get that feeling of, hey, our team's turning it around. Hey, we can do this, right? It's a long season ahead, but hey, things are changing.
Yeah. 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 And just to be clear too, I mean, that the reviewing past experiences needs to be done in a very clear way. You know, one experience at a time, owning one's own personal experience, bringing in some level of humility, like this is what I remember happening and how it affected me, so as to not throw out a bunch of bait for the other to like, well, that's not exactly how it happened. Like, that's not the point. Like, I have this memory in me that I'm still, that I, you know, and I have pain here. So, I mean, that's where, right, like quality couples therapy is so helpful, because it's right, you've no doubt, everyone's experienced this. It's so hard to hear a mischaracterization of oneself. As you experience it, right? You're like, I didn't say that that way. I didn't yell, or I didn't just slam the door. I, you know, right? We get into this back and forth and this argumentation about what happened versus an actual repair, an acceptance that this is what you remember happening, and that sounds so painful. And I'm so sorry that that happened. How can we put it to rest. What do you need? But you get to both take turns, though, is also the thing. People get pretty like fearful that this is going to be a one-way thing where I'm the one who's doing all of the, you know, kind of repair work.
Yeah. And you, I mean, would that be another thing even to kind of keep an eye out for, meaning a therapist who's willing to intervene to sometimes maybe make space for the more quiet partner or the partner who isn't necessarily coming in with the big list to kind of, because I could just see pretty easily, you know, it getting one-sided in certain scenarios if the therapist isn't, I guess, bold enough to kind of interrupt mm-hmm. sometimes and create the space for the other side.
Yeah, definitely. Right. There's a boldness that's necessary to, and yet also some tact and some finesse to interrupt or to shift and to call, you know, name something. You know, we say in PACT, you know, we make a call or we make a statement that goes down the middle, that stops, that kind of interrupts a pattern. Like, for example, the two of you don't seem to know how to really take turns. And then they just kind of sit with it and kind of like, huh. Yeah, you're kind of right. It kind of exposes this pattern they're in where one, and that's on them both, right? What's up with the guy that's just sitting there taking it all? Like, how he doesn't have a skill to say, hey, honey, I really want to hear you, but I need you to pause so I can just really take in what you just shared and figure out what you need so that you can feel safe again. He doesn't have that skill. Anyway, right? So yes, you want that level of, the boldness to interrupt a pattern that's just playing itself out. It's like it's not only doing no one good. I mean, it's doing more detriment because you're just grooving in a dysfunctional pattern.
Boom. Feels huge. Because we don't want to do that. It's already hard enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. And any other tips that come to mind in terms of, kind of low-hanging fruit for couples or men to be on the lookout for or know how to ask for?
I think men, myself included, are really motivated by being challenge, a challenge though that has a clear path, like a structure and like a set of skills that you're developing and some level of progress. And yeah, just invite the men out there to see couples work as that, as something that is essential to their well-being, to their success as a person in this world. You know, it's not, if it feels super abstract it's kind of contemplating the patterns of the relationship and it doesn't feel visceral and it doesn't change how you feel in your body in the next, you know, interaction at all, then it's not the right and fit, and you should trust that. You need something else. You need something that's changing your wiring, your somatic response when you're under stress with your partner. You need that. You deserve that. It's out there for you. You just got to hunt it down and say, I want that. Don't be on your heels. Don't be, you know, dragged to couples therapy. That's a bad place to start from, obviously. come in there with like, yes, I want to learn how to handle this situation with you. And you need some help. Let's find a hired gun to like sort this out. It's not going to be forever. Like, I would love that kind of attitude.
That feels, yeah, really good. And I imagine really empowering to actually step into as well. Because,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not that the session has to happen to us. Like, oh, no. It's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cool. Let's get hungry. Get in there. Get dirty and learn some skills so we can up level. And yeah, I really want to highlight what you said of kind of maybe another thing to look out for in a sense would be if your sessions are just staying in the realm of the conceptual and not actually getting into the somatic rewiring of, yeah, what do you do when she says the thing and it reminds you of the time when you were young or whatever, and your whole nervous system goes into red alert. Like that's where the needle is really going to move when you're getting into that real experiential stuff. And if you're just kind of talking about the patterns, you're not really going to get that ability or have that opportunity to train your nervous system like you're talking about. Like, again, just want to highlight what Ryan said earlier. You know, you can kind of think of this as nervous system training. A good couples therapy is training you two to work with your nervous systems so you can stay on the same team and keep moving towards the things you want, right? Without some of these different patterns from childhood and from, frankly, just being humans getting in the way. But that it takes that like visceralness. I think that was maybe a word you said too. Like it should be a pretty visceral experience of like, whoa, okay, yeah, this is the thing that's happening and you're helping me track what's happening and getting the opportunities to actually try some different things in this state while we're in the session together, because that's already going to be plenty hard compared to, or I mean, that's already hard enough having the support of the therapist in the room, let alone, you know, being expected to just go figure that out alone after the session. Like, no, it needs to be happening when you're in that kind of sacred, you know, very limited time frame in some sense. Uh-huh. Like there's, you know, compared to how many hours you're in relationship with your partner coming in for a session once, twice, three times a month, it's not that much. So you really want to make sure something is happening in that space. And, you know, I think if we're kind of highlighted anything here in some sense, if it's not, it's probably not the right fit for your couple, and the limited resource you have would probably be better invested finding someone else who can get you more into that really visceral place where you're doing the hard work in a session.
Totally. Yeah. Well said.
Awesome. Well, anything else last come to mind for you here before we close out, just in terms of the topic so far?
No, I think we covered some good ground there. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. And what is the best way for, you know, anyone listening to kind of get to know you more, keep up with you, and some of your offerings for couples and the work you do?
Yeah. You can find me Ryan Ginn, on Instagram and, ryanginn.com, G-I-N-N. And also doing a collaboration with one of our mutual friends, Luke Adler. And that's on beingmen.net, where we do courses for men in long-term relationship. And yeah, I would also want to offer that if you're looking for a couples therapist in your neighborhood, the PACT Institute, P-A-C-T, just Google that and you can find someone highly trained in a lot of stuff what we're talking about.
A directory I often refer guys to. And again, just kind of what he's highlighting there is, you know, it's going to be really useful if the person you work with has some specific training for couples and kind of has a trajectory, a sense of kind of where to take you, right? If they don't have a sense of where to take you, I would take yourself elsewhere and put that maybe bottom line that in some sense. But awesome, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for, showing up and the work you do. It's always so incredible. I learned so much every time I receive your gifts and your education and your brotherhood. Yeah. So it's always a pleasure, and we'll definitely have to do this again sometime, my man.
Sounds good, Jason.
You're interested in working with me around dating, relationships, or your masculine presence in the world? Just go to evolutionary.men/apply.